Lexington.com.
With or without him, Apple will go on. Steve Jobs resigns as the CEO. That was the earthquake that was felt on Wall Street anyway during the day. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're at the crossroads of all kinds of things, including a hurricane, Hurricane Irene. I got to talk about it because I'm stunned that there is suddenly a debate on staying or going. If somebody tells you there's a Cat 3 headed your way, Cat 4, and I got little kids, I am throwing them in the car and I am out of there. You can go stay in a hotel for a day or two that's more inland. But there are people in Carolina that are saying, yeah, you know, maybe we're just going to hang. The tourists were told to get out. Leave. You got to leave. You're tourists. This isn't where you live. You got to go. We'll give you some coupons for a burger or two on the way out of town. But the people who are actually native to the area are thinking of digging in and not going. They want to ride out the storm. That's where you got to be gassed up, have your emergency stuff, and you got to be ready to get out. Because I think this is going to be a bad one. I keep checking the radar. Now I'm like one of those hounds. I never got that, the whole Weather Channel thing. No offense to my friends at the Weather Channel. They do a fine job. But I know people that are just mesmerized by it. It's almost like video junkies. It's like crack to them. They watch it all the time. And I have been watching for this hurricane to get a better sense of what I think is going to happen here. And all kinds of predictions about winds, and will it be 60 to 100? And we've talked about that already before. 60 to 100, you know, I defy anyone. Stand in the middle of a wind tunnel at 60 miles an hour and tell me what that's like. Are you think you're going to be still standing up after a few seconds? I don't think so. Of course, 100's that much worse, but they're equally as deadly. Equally. And depending what's around your house, that's what I would say. Here, in fact, is Daniel Brown talking about Irene building up over the Bahamas.
Became a Category 3 hurricane. It's currently located near the central Bahamas. It is moving to the northwest at about 12 miles per hour. We expect some additional strengthening as it moves through the northwestern Bahamas on Thursday.
All right, so here's one woman talking about, you heard what he said about its strengthening and how it's coming through. Here's one woman talking about the fact that her daughter's saying, you know what, I don't care, I'm just going to stay here. If I die, I die. Take a listen.
I have a brother and a daughter and over there that are not leaving. They say they've been there, you know, and they're not ever going to leave, so they've been there and they're going to die there. That's what my daughter told me last night.
Ooh, that's they live there and they're going to die there. Man, that is pig-headedness. And we all have relatives that are pig-headed. I have a my mother, we call her the general, I have a feeling that she would somehow convince us that we needed to leave. So at this point, you know, we're talking, you know, 100 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour is what it's looking like on the radar. One other quick note on it before we move on here at the top. It just goes to show you, you can never be too early, right? 450 people were stranded in San Juan on Sunday. That's because they ordered Carnival and Royal Caribbean boats to leave early to avoid Hurricane Irene. So 300 of the people left behind hadn't got on board. They didn't get on board the Carnival Victory. And the other 145 were left by the Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas. So they were stuck. Can you imagine? And none of the passengers say they weren't notified of the change. So you're out there shopping, having a few Bahama Mamas, whatever it is they're drinking, and they don't know that the Serenade has left. They had no idea. They just made that decision, the port of... And what the cruise ships are trying to say is, look, the decision was made by the port of San Juan on Sunday when the ship was docked, and there wasn't a way to notify anybody of the change in departure. Wow. someone's going to be paying some money. Are you kidding me? I love what one guy said. There was a passenger who said, I can't believe this billion-dollar company couldn't have contacted me to tell me the ship was leaving early. They had my phone number. It gets it's crazy on cruises, isn't it? You enter at your own risk. And I know there's probably at least one cruise person, maybe someone who owns a cruise line, maybe somebody who's worked on a cruise line, who is just cringing. But the problems they've had with cruises. Last year we were talking about a cruise that was stranded. Remember the one off of California? They were stranded near Mexico. It was just floating. They were dropping Pop-Tarts on the deck for people to eat. That's even a little different. In this case, they have no idea. You have no idea. You're out. I mean, you're there. They've docked. So I'll tell you, get travel insurance. You got to get travel insurance because this is a weather-related thing. You got to be covered by that. And well, I don't know what happened to the people. That's a lot of people, 450 people. So Royal Caribbean, they say they're not giving any compensation for anyone who missed sailing because of the early departure. They're not going to do it. And Carnival, I think that they're debating on what to do. Swim home. Just swim home. You'll have to figure out a way to get there. We can't help you. I'm sorry. All right, Steve Jobs, I said this at the top. He bails on Apple. I think it's because he's really sick, which is sad. If you've watched the progression of what's happened to him, you can see it on his face. But he did an amazing job with Apple. There's no question. So he resigns from that position. And he's got these health issues, and I think that has to be it. He couldn't do it any longer, and he decided if he couldn't do it, he was going to step away because he always believed that if he got to the point where that wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to happen, that he needed to get away. So he survived pancreatic cancer. He got a liver transplant. He's had all kinds of things happen to him, and they passed that role on to, and it should be approved, to Tim Cook, who was the chief operating officer and really had been acting as CEO and knows everything that Jobs was doing and all that other sort of stuff. But you wonder, the company is so on the cutting edge, and he really was the mastermind behind that. All the inventive things that Apple's done, where Apple is like an event. They announce they're going to release something and people stand out, which is so crazy to me. They stand in line sometimes overnight to get an iPad, to get an iPhone when that came out, you know, whatever it might be, the product is that big. It's just the product. And it's because of him and what he created out of Apple. So you wonder if it creates a crack, even though this other guy, Tim Cook, knows the score, you wonder if it creates a crack in the armor for that company that's been tough for others to shake. Hey, coming up later this hour, we can count. Got a lot of numbers for you, including China's military and what they've done now in the space of just a couple of years and where they hope to be in 2020. But next, you got to light up these phone lines. The Guru of Collectibles is waiting in the wings. 800-259-5791. If you collect anything, this guy can tell you all about it. Don't miss that conversation. It's coming up next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
I'm just wild about Harry, and Harry's wild about me. The heavenly blisses of his kisses fill me with ecstasy. He's sweet just like...
All right, every couple of weeks, we're joined by the guru of all things collectible, Harry Rinker. And as I said, as we went into this, it's your chance to talk to him about whatever it is that you collect. Could be anything. Coins, stamps, something much more exotic. 800-259-5791. Harry, did you ever have a stamp collection?
Yes. Yeah, as a kid... I always tell people I cut my teeth on the big three: stamps, coins, and rocks.
Oh, rocks!
Well,
rocks,
those
are
my first three Boy Scout merit badges: stamp collecting, coin collecting, and rock collecting.
Yeah, do a lot of people still collect stamps, do you think?
Yes. It's very interesting. The coin collecting, which I'm not getting into the stamps here, but the boost with the headquarters.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that with the coins, I think we're kind of losing you there. Are you all right, Harry? You with us? Oh, it's that phone. I think Hurricane Irene has suddenly taken a different direction and gone in your direction. Hey, we're going to dial you back up. Let's see if we can get him back here, Donovan, because it's a little shaky on that connection. We'll try to get you. I know how that is. Can you hear me now? Isn't that the worst? I haven't had that happen too much with my cell phone, luckily, and Steve Jobs. I've got that iPhone. Other people complain about whatever the service is, AT&T or whatever, but I haven't had that too often. It's funny, asking Harry about collecting stamps. I collected stamps and coins when I was little because my father had a coin business. So he had a business on the side because he was he's into coins. He would have auctions and stuff. And so I always got all those coins. I still have a lot of them. And I thought it was cool. I had cigar boxes full of them. And the same with stamps, although I never really got into that as much. I had the stamps that came out, but I had more coins. All right, Harry, I was just telling my tales of collecting coins. I still have a lot of the coins that I have when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I think that they took a big boost with the state quarters. The difficulty with the with stamps is that stamps never quite got itself organized the same way again. Now, the thing is that while stamp collecting may not be as popular in the United States as it once was, it's huge in Europe, in Germany, and particularly in China. And, of course, thanks to the Internet, stamp collecting is alive and well and very strong. The big thing, too, is that people used to collect countries, and the big shift in stamp collecting right now is to collect what they call topical stamps. You know, stamps with a certain theme to them, birds or mountains or lakes or famous people or whatever it is that you want to collect. So stamp collecting, out of the meetings, the Postal Service, you may or may not know, has what's called a citizen stamp. This is for people that meet four times a year to approve the new stamps. And clearly, you know, while approving some of the stamps is about honoring certain events, it's also about trying to determine what stamps are and may be long term. And the issue stamps that will attract collectors not only in the United States but worldwide. I mean, the Postal Service, for its monetary problems, is stamps you never use.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, boy, you know, what's going on with the Postal Service like you're talking about, if I don't think it'll completely go out, but if it did, wow. You know, all the ones that are issued, like the stuff that I would get, well, then that's the end of that.
Well, you know, personally, about the only thing that I use for stamp collecting, my bills.
Yeah.
On email, and that's, of course, part of the whole situation
problem
with the Postal Service. The thing, too, is that when I was a kid, you collect stamps, you just kind of cut them off, stuff like that. Today, you know, since probably the 1950s, stamps have to be unused, you know, untouched, virtually whatever, to have any form of collectible value. And back when I was a kid, my uncle used to go down to the post office and buy pieces of stamps. You know, as each new stamp came out, they'd buy a whole. Well, the simple truth of the matter is that you can get those 5 and 6 and 7 cents commemorative stamps. You get a sheet of 7 centers, and that's $7. You could buy those today for 80 cents of the dollar. You pay $5.60 a sheet. A lot of people just buy the old stamps up and use them for postage because you can save 20 to 25% because you don't pay face value for them anymore in the marketplace. So the market's so flooded.
Yeah. Hey, somebody wanted me to mention this. Old and new Happy Meal toys. There is kind of a little bit of a fun market for that, isn't there?
Well, there was a huge market for McDonald's collectibles in the 90s. We if there was one price guide, there must have been 10. And clearly what you're talking about is, in fact, there was an entire book just on Happy Meal boxes. But once you got to the 90s, and everybody was collecting conscious. Any Happy Meal toy issued after about 1985, there's, again, such a glut in the market that there are 50 centers and buckers at garage sales. And even the crossover ones, you know, the Barbie ones. I remember when Star Wars the 1, 2, and 3 came out. And what was it, Burger? No, I was going to get it right. Kentucky Fried Chicken. I forget, there were 3 of them. They issued all that Star Wars stuff. I got fat eating all those hamburgers and pizzas and stuff. And I've got boxes full of that stuff, and it virtually has no market. American collectors today are very conscious of that, and it's very hard on these mass-produced premiums to be able to set aside anything and have enough time pass. Now, maybe my grandchildren will get rich someday selling it, but not me.
Yeah, yeah, further down the line, which is what you and I always talk about. It depends on errors and whatnot. That's what's interesting about collecting.
And this is the thing, too. I still have that auditorium filled with stuff in Pennsylvania I got to get rid of, and that's where all that stuff is at the moment.
Wow.
But if you have early fast food stuff, I mean pre-1970 fast food stuff, I'd take a look at it before I toss it.
Yeah. I have I had somebody else Ann email me and say, this might be a silly question, but just throw this out to Harry. I have thousands and thousands of buttons that have been passed down in my family. Probably not much value other than just the fact that my family has them.
Well,
but
actually, that may not be true. There was a huge button collector craze in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and then in the 80s and 90s, it kind of fell on hard times. But since the beginning of the 21st century, button collectors have come back again. Button collectors have special cards that they issue. There's a National Button Collector Society, and some, if you have early buttons, now again, not buttons from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, but if you have early buttons that have anything unusual about the military buttons or buttons in sets with unusual designs, they can have some substantial value. Now, not the ordinary white pearl buttons, but, you know, a lot of people historically cut buttons off of clothes and saved them for reuse. And so it was not uncommon to when you're cleaning out grandma's stuff, to find a fruit jar full or a whole jar full of buttons. Now, do most buttons have value? Probably not, but, you know, it always pays to go through them. And clearly, if you can get buttons in sets of 6 and 8 and that type of thing, I'd do a little bit of homework before I throw them out, because there may be more value in buttons than you know.
All right, some good advice. Harry, we want to tell everybody, because we're running out of time, if they want to send you something, then what do they need to do? They need to say that they heard you on America Tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Our America Tonight listeners can email me with a question. Now, we'll answer them on the air. I don't have time to do personal answers, but my email address is my full name, HarryLRinker@AOL.com, HarryLRinker@AOL.com. HarryLRinker@AOL.com. You have to start your email, "I listen to you on America Tonight." Give us the name of your station, and when I'm on with Kate the next time, I will answer that mailbag letter here on the air. Mailbag letters are great because it gives me a chance to do some research work as well.
Oh, yeah. Key that people get that. We do have one quick call. We're going to try to squeeze him in. Jack is listening to us in Australia. Jack, what's your question for Harry?
Good evening, Harry. Look, I've got a 1 ounce pure silver commemorative ingot here that was struck in 1973, commemorating the Watergate controversy.
Yeah, it's going to be. Well, the good news is it's a silver ingot, so you got about $25 worth of silver. It being worth more than that, I think it's going to be worth more of it in Australia. And again, this is American dollars, by the way, not Australian dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could be looking at between 25 and 35 American, probably.
Yeah, that's something, Jack. It's better than a poke in the eye. Harry, thanks, and thanks to you, Jack. And remember, you can catch him in another 2 weeks. We'll be talking at him again. He's fabulous. Guru of collectibles. See, you got to jump in on this.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the 4 major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, WHEY.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't admit me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
This isn't Mexican radio, but it is America tonight. And we are coast to coast and beyond the borders thanks to Pal Talk. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see me waving all our friends in the UK and down under and all around. And a big shout out to Jack and the crew doing a fine job there. And also a shout out to Bob and the boys in the UK. Probably eating some fish and chips right now. Well, maybe it's too early for fish and chips. Eggs! They're eating eggs. Eggs and, what do they call them? Not fries. Oh, it's another word. It's been so long since I've been to England. Help me, somebody. There's so many names for potatoes. And I can't think of what it is right now off the top of them. Well, chips. Eggs and chips. That's what it would be, the same thing, right? All right, so eggs and chips, probably not the big concern for Muammar Gaddafi. But here's the thing, he's missing in action. Yes, what happened? There was all those grandiose speeches about, you know, this is it and what'll happen now and They're closing in, getting close, closing in on Gaddafi. Rebels are hunting, actually, the former dictator, because now there's a $2 million bounty on his head. So there's even, you know, there they're going to take the money. That's fine. We'll find him. We'll take it. But will they find him? Apparently, it was crazy. The tunnels underneath Tripoli were out of this world, you know, like catacomb-like almost. So now there's a bounty. Now there's an even bigger reason, like I said, the 2 million. And there are a lot of rebels that are trying to get him, trying to get Gaddafi. And they're trying to just make their way all around Tripoli, basically, because he's got a fortress sort of like compound in that city. And some people believe he's still there, that he's not anywhere in Algeria or some of the other spots that have been mentioned before. So he wasn't at home when they stormed the fortress. Now, he spoke to people through an address, basically, to the Libyan people on Wednesday on local Tripoli radio, saying that he had to retreat. It was just a tactical maneuver, and it was all because of the NATO airstrikes that brought down his government, and he vowed basically that he would kill himself, you know, martyrdom, or I shouldn't say kill himself, martyrdom, or a win in the battle against the what he's calling the alliance. Now, another little snippet, and this is through a translator, another little snippet from Gaddafi talks about telling the people to go to the streets and help him. Help him. Take a listen.
I call on all the Tripoli residents with all its young, old, and armed brigades to defend the city, to cleanse it, put an end to the traitors, and kick them out of our city.
Did you like that? I like the translator with the British accent. Okay, so go and cleanse the streets. Fat chance any of those people are going to run out and do that. I have a feeling that that's not what's going to happen, especially not when they were used as human shields. You know, maybe military loyalists to him, but not anyone else. Most people are going to stay in their house because the sky is filled with gunfire. Filled with it. So, yeah, you might have had some people in cars on the road, that kind of stuff. But mostly, if they're in the middle of this in these neighborhoods, they are jamming inside. They are staying inside and waiting to get word that there's been a fatal blow to Colonel Gaddafi. And you would have to think specifically by the numbers that this has to be a matter of time. But haven't we been saying that since February? I think we have. So Gaddafi, at least for a few more days, has outsmarted the rebels. They can't find him. And some of the loyalists, Gaddafi's loyalists, released about 30 journalists that they were holding inside one of the hotels, because over the weekend they were actually taken at gunpoint as some of the rebels advanced on the capital. And all the journalists now are free. They're out of the hotel, and the Red Cross people that were on hand took them, you know, grabbed them, scooped them up, you know, whatever. Especially there was four Italian guys who were abducted, and their driver, and unfortunately they were killed outside of Tripoli. And that is territory that they say is normally under rebel control. So you have the journalists that get released from the hotel, and then you have this situation with the Italian journalists. So they had to have been killed by Gaddafi people, because otherwise that doesn't make any sense, right? I'm assuming that's what happened anyway there. He keeps saying, like I said, that it's a tactical maneuver, and that's the reason why there was a retreat. But I say, why can't they get this guy? He's like a rat in the tunnels of New York City. Is it that hard? I cannot. He's not by himself. He has to have an entourage that's unbelievable. And somebody knows something. I always think somebody knows something. Maybe they'll squeal for a little taste of some money. If the rebels were smart, they're probably doing that because they're trying to get them to, certainly partially to get the money. And people will talk. I think with Gaddafi, people will talk. It's a different situation than like the crazy hunt for Osama bin Laden. I think that somebody knows something and they'll probably squeal and then they'll be able to get them, right? Of course, we could just remember this. I'm going to write this time down. We can remember this. We're going to time stamp it. And if I'm going to say the same thing in 2 months, then I'm done with the story because it's, I think it's crazy that they can't shake him out, can't snuff him out. I got to talk about this here because, as I mentioned, some odds and ends. This boggles my mind. I guess in a way it doesn't, but people going to the parks, the beauty of the parks, you think about it. You think of Yellowstone. I have a friend going to Yellowstone. You think of Yosemite and how people just desperately want to go to Yosemite. It's incredible. It's beautiful. You look at that territory. You look at the falls, you look at all that it offers, and it really is something of beauty to see. To grow up in this country and not have a chance to see Yellowstone or Yosemite, that would be a shame, no matter if you live in New York or Connecticut or Illinois or Vermont or wherever, because it's worth getting a glimpse of it. But at what price? What is going on with people when they go there? Do they feel like they're invincible and they can climb up these slippery rocks, these granite rocks, and they're going to be okay? Or they're trying to get the ultimate picture and they don't realize that there's such a chance they could fly off those rocks? They've had 17 people this year killed in Yosemite. 17 that have died, anyway. 17 have died. And some of them, it was simply a matter of getting a picture. Oh, no picture is worth that. I can't even imagine being in that group where there were students and that happens. I mean, that's just one of those things where it's happening in front of their eyes and there's nothing you can do. There's no way to help them. And I would have to think that they're a little worried at Yosemite. Because, yes, they have signs up and it's a giant, giant facility. There's no way to police everyone there. There's no way they could do that. But why aren't people taking the warnings? Are people just that crazy that they're willing to take risks like that? I don't understand. If someone has a bead on it, I mean, it's the adrenaline. If it's a matter of climbing, I get that adrenaline rush thing and doing it and not worrying about it because that's what you do. You don't fear it. But I don't think that's what it is in some of these cases, certainly not for the people that were getting the pictures taken. They wanted their picture taken, and that was that. They just went too far over toward the edge and then fell in, and that was it, and there was nothing to hold on to. Wow. But what a creepy phone call that must be for any of those park guys to have to make, because they've had to do it 17 times. 17 times. That it seems very, very high to me. Part of it has to do because of the snow and then the runoff with the snow and things are slipperier and people aren't thinking about it. They're not thinking it's slippery. And that's why some of them have shifted and fallen over the cliffs and things like that because they've just completely lost their footing and there's not, then there's, what are they grabbing onto? And they're going over and that's it. Poof. And there's nothing anybody can do. There was one person who tried to help their friend, and sadly, they went over as well because there was no way to stop it. There was nothing to grab onto, and then they're over the falls, and they're finding their bodies days later. Coming up, We Can Count. It includes an update, because after all, a number is always attached to a hurricane, on Hurricane Irene.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi folks, Steve Shank and Babs Rosberg here for eFoods Direct.
In August, we're celebrating our 30-year anniversary in the long-term food supply industry.
To celebrate, the biggest sale ever, our most popular premier one-year food supply for 30% off.
That's 30% off of our Freedom Food Supply. You save $536 on each one-year supply. That's lower than 1981 prices.
If you ever thought about getting a year's supply of food, now is the time.
This whole one-year supply is a balanced selection of foods, and it all fits in the space of a washing machine.
You know you need your own food.
But time is running out. This 30% off sale for the best food on the planet ends Friday, August 26th.
Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/freedom. This sale ends Friday, August 26th. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/freedom.
Start off with some negative news. I've been trying to keep the positive flow during this hour of America Tonight, somewhat anyway, right? Irene might be a Cat 4, they say, within 24 hours. Get ready and don't be silly if you're listening to me anywhere near the Carolinas or you have friends there. You don't want to try to batten the hatches. Forget it. It's not the same as a Category 1 or a tropical storm. So, two people have already died in the Dominican Republic. Lots of damage in the Bahamas. Anybody ever been to the Bahamas? Paradise Island. It is something. But it's not something when the place has been decimated. They say the winds could increase over the next couple of days up to that 100 miles and counting number. Oh, I don't even want to tell you what the Carolinas would look like. It would just be down power lines everywhere, windows and things blown off, cars overturned, be a nightmare. And then add in the water, the flooding, that kind of stuff, depending on how much of that drops. But I bet you that it would be probably a lot. Yeah. So we'll see. Right now, prediction is could hit four, going to hit the Carolinas unless something drastically changes. It would decrease wind speed-wise and, you know, be downgraded category-wise as it is expected once it hits to move up the East Coast all the way up through to New England. So they get a lot of water. You know, they get some rain, 3, 4, 6 maybe inches, but they wouldn't bear the brunt of the storm that would be in the south. Things sometimes change. Weather pattern still has time to change. It's just not looking that way because we're in Thursday heading to the weekend, and that means time is running out, and the path is the path of the Carolinas. They stand right in the way. Let's talk about China and the military for a while. A lot of people are talking about this probably today. There's a little bit of water cooler buzz. We talk about China all the time on this show, how I mentioned just on the previous show, I couldn't believe that the Martin Luther King Jr. statue, which is frankly gorgeous, I mean, it looks great, and it's there in Washington, it was completely made in China, brought over on a boat, put you know, into the United States, all that sort of stuff. Now, nothing against the artist, because the artist did a phenomenal job, but, you know, and I'm an open-minded person when it comes to art, and when it comes to art and when it comes to history, but this is the problem. There, we have fabulous artists in this country. There couldn't be an American artist that could have done that. A good tie in there. How about an African American artist? I could have lent a few names. So, China, China, China. The Pentagon was talking about China, and this is what's interesting. The Pentagon wasn't glowing about China. The Pentagon was warning that China's military is growing. Now, why would they warn? Why would they send out a warning that the military's growing? The Pentagon says that China spent $160 billion for its military in 2010. U.S. spending was about $550 billion, not including the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. However, China is not transparent about what they're doing. Why do they have to be transparent to us, especially? Because they have us dangling. So, you know, the Pentagon is warning about that. They're saying, you know, yo, China, you need to tell us what you're doing. What kind of military buildup are you doing over there? We need to know. And they're probably just laughing hysterically in the background somewhere, because I don't think they're not going to share their secrets. China froze military contracts, by the way, of the U.S. last year to protect an arms sale to Taiwan worth more than $6 billion rather. In that area, $6 billion. So now you have somebody on the Armed Services Committee saying that, you know, this is, they're being assertive. They're being assertive, including the fact that they're denying access to the Western Pacific. And this is a big concern. I mean, what about security? What about stability in that area? If you've got security problems in the Pacific and it's jeopardized, if the Allies believe the U.S. is going to scale back its military presence in there in order to cut defense spending, because what are we going to do? So, and then China with what they're doing cyber-wise, all this stuff is all part of a report. And it comes out as the U.S. and Beijing struggle to figure out what that relationship is. It's like a bad relationship. It's starting to become that. It's like, you guys know what I'm talking about. You hook up with somebody and you think you're getting one thing, but you really met their representative. It's all great in the beginning. It's awesome. Everything's flowing, everything's happening, it's great. And then, slowly but surely, it's falling off the cliff. We're at the falling off the cliff point. I mean, this relationship is crashing. And now you have this, you have the United States supporting Taiwan. And China doesn't like it because supposedly China's hitting up these what you're calling cyber intrusions and other things related to defense-related networks, right? So they don't like it. They don't want the U.S. messing with that. They don't want the U.S. messing with Taiwan. And this now the military, what they are also doing is creating a lot of tension in that area. And so what's happened is they've got a stealth fighter. So I'm going to give you the goods. They got a stealth fighter. They have an aircraft carrier. They have had a bunch of space launches over the past year. And of course, we're mothballed space wise now. So their goal is to have one ginormous military by 2020. And the Pentagon knows it, and they're saying it, and they're spraying it out there. The Pentagon saying Beijing has closed off some critical technological gaps. That's what they're calling it. And they're modernizing their equipment that was old. And they're trying to prevent any kind of a U.S. or allied intervention in their conflict with Taiwan. So that's what we're talking about. What happens in the Western Pacific? What happens if they deny access to the U.S. or anybody else, any of the allies, France, England? What happens then? It's getting ugly. Definitely getting ugly. So good for the Pentagon, I think, actually, to release that. Let's have a conversation about it, perhaps, instead of just burying our head in the sand. And when with the Armed Services Committee, when everybody comes back to Washington, I would think that this could possibly be something that'll be top on the agenda. All right. Also, quickly with We Can Count, we talked about the quake in Washington and the East Coast and what was going on with the cell phone coverage and what about cracks and, you know, you had all those workers that kind of streamed out of some of the evacuated buildings and the earthquake was 5.8 on the Richter scale is what they're saying. And you had two nuclear reactors that were taken offline following the quake, and that all worked well. But there was some pretty decent damage to the Washington National Cathedral. And I say decent, it's not good that it was damaged, but enough that you could see that things had fallen off, where pieces of concrete had come down, and some spires had also come down. You saw it on the ground, and the pinnacles. It's actually the pinnacles that are on top of the spires, and they're the highest point in the city. If you go to Washington, you notice it. And the capstones, that's what they call them, the stones there, they fell off. So all around the grounds, there was chunks of stones and rubble. I mean, that's what you saw. That was pretty significant, and the central tower was the one that was really hit. Plus, there's cracks in the Washington Monument. It's closed right now. If you went there, you couldn't go up. You couldn't see it. I mean, from afar, you could see it, but there's cracks, so they're not going to let anyone go up in it. And the cell phone service was very disconcerting because people couldn't get out on the cell phone. So what was up with that? Cell towers jammed. Not a good thing there when people are in a position where they're panicked and they're trying to figure out what's going on, because remember, that's how you reach to the outer world when you have no way to do it other than running out into the streets and try to figure out among the crowd what was happening. Boy, what do we do without these cell phones?